Accessing library computer data.
Let's make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Well, the internet has spoken, and Wes has been booted from the Star Trek Penske File podcast, and now I, Clay McCormick, am sole host of the show.
I actually started this ground roots movement, so I'm really glad to be your first guest, Clay.
Which is why you're here with me today, and you will be here with me until I become so paranoid that I don't trust you, and then you will be gone as well.
You're sounding more and more like Wes already.
But no, Wes's recording capabilities are indisposed at the moment as he switches houses, so I have been given the reins to this show. So you know what? It's going to be a different kind of show. We're going to be talking about Star Trek. We're going to be talking about the thoughts and opinions on every episode. But you know what? I don't know how we're going to do it. We might do it through song. We might do it through poetry. I don't know.
Oh, man. Recording Clay is a lot more excited than the Clay I know and get drunk with.
Well, you know, it's a showbiz thing. Sometimes you have to be on, and sometimes you can just be off.
That's good, man. How come you're never on and we hang out?
Oh, I don't know, because you're so interesting, I don't want to step on your toes.
You know, it's funny. I think Clay was saying one of the comments on YouTube were that people's favorite guests were you and me. So I'm glad that we kind of cut out Wes and Tana and all those other people to get down to really what makes the show work.
Oh, absolutely. You got to break it down to the essence of what makes it work.
Yeah. All you really need is Leonardo and Donatello. You don't need the other Ninja Turtles.
What? Now, we might have to have some talk about that, because everyone knows that Raphael is the best Ninja Turtle.
Actually, I meant to say Raphael, but I fucked up, because I know you're right. It's a good thing I didn't go with a Ghostbuster analogy.
Oh, I know. Anyway, today we'll be talking about Suspicions, which is episode 22 of season 6 of Star Trek The Next Generations. And in this episode, Dr. Crusher risks her career to solve the murder of Ferengi scientist Dr. Rega and vindicate his research. It was written, directed by Cliff Bohl and written by Joe Manosky and Naren Shankar. So, why don't you, Sean, why don't you start off and tell me what you thought of this? Because I don't know how much we're going to have to talk about this, so right. Why don't you start?
Well, I'll start off by admitting that I watched the wrong fucking episode.
Okay, which episode did you watch?
The Rightful Heir. I thought you...
Yeah, didn't you watch Suspicion as well?
No, I thought you told me to switch.
Oh, fuck. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I'll pretend like... I know I've seen it, I just don't remember.
Well,
I assume this has Dr. Crusher in it.
Well, if you want, we can switch to that one if you want.
No, how about this? Let me interview you, because you seem to know more about it than I do. Okay? What did you think of the beginning?
Oh, this is going to be interesting. This is why Wes never gave me control of the show before.
Oh, my God. We already drove off the cliff.
Okay, so I'll give you a breakdown of what this episode is about.
Okay, remind
so,
me.
Suspicions is about Beverly Crusher supporting this Ferengi scientist who has this technology that allows you to fly closer to a star than you ever would have been before without your ship being damaged. And she brings on these four other scientists who she think will be supportive of the research. One of them is a Klingon and a human couple. One of them is a Vulcan and a human couple.
Right.
One of them is a Klingon, and the other one is some species that we've never seen before.
Right.
And Crusher even says that in the episode. And they decide to do a test of this technology. So the guy who we've never seen before offers to fly the ship, and everything's going well, but then the technology fails, and this guy gets blasted by, you know... Whatever the radiation is that they claim it is, and it ends up killing him.
Yep.
And from that point on, it turns into basically a murder mystery plot told in flashback, and the framing device is Crusher and Guinan talking to each other because Crusher is about to be dismissed because of all of her actions in this episode.
Right.
Not a huge fan of this episode myself.
Yeah, you know, it didn't sound good the way you pitched it, but maybe that's because you're just a shitty pitcher.
That's probably what it is. That explains a lot of my professional history, if that's the case.
So, how do you feel about... First of all, do you think Crusher can hold an episode?
Well, it's difficult, because I think in certain cases, yeah, because in... I would call Cause and Effect probably more of a... I think it's that one, is more of a Crusher episode than anybody else, if I remember correctly. So I think in certain circumstances, yes, but this is not... I don't think the failure of this episode is due to her.
No.
I think it's a writing failure, because the mechanics of this whodunit thing just do not work, and they don't make a lot of sense, and it's the part where I kind of fell off the train,
right.
Is when they decide, oh, okay, well, we need to test this technology, so one of these scientists volunteers to be the person to fly this ship. Now, he's volunteering to fly a transport shuttle into a fucking star.
Yeah. What,
using technology that they don't know whether or not it works. Why in the 23rd or 24th century or wherever this is, why do they let him do that? Why don't they automate the thing and do it with a robot?
Right. Or, you know? send Data.
Yeah, or Data. Or someone who's not going to be, you know, killed by radiation.
Or Wesley.
Or Geordi. Why not Geordi?
Yes, please send Geordi. Or like a crash test dummy, but like a space one.
Yeah.
You know, when you could test like blunt force trauma and all that, they've got to have those still in space.
Oh, I'm sure that they do, yeah. And what they also have, based
that's
on this episode...
basically what Data is, actually.
That's true. What they also have, based on this episode, is institutional racism, because, man, they are racist toward Ferengis in this show.
Yeah.
And they don't even... they do not apologize for it whatsoever. Even the Vulcans are kind of racist towards the Ferengi.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, because you can imagine the meaning on this. Like, all right, you know how we fucked up Ferengis from season one? What if we have a Ferengi that we actually like? You know, and it was working well on Deep Space Nine, because they had Quark, so they tried it again, and, well, they ended up killing him off, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the second half, the second step in the whodunit is... First they think, he's a Ferengi, so maybe he sabotaged his own stuff. But then he ends up dead.
Right.
And so then it turns into Crusher. It looks like a suicide, but Crusher doesn't think that it is. And it's just the way that they set up this whodunit is just really lazy, and there's not really any stakes to it other than... Like, Crusher... the framing device thing with Guinan. Is Crusher telling Guinan all about what's happening and about how she screwed up and about how she's going to be kicked out of Starfleet or whatever.
Right.
And after she's done telling her, Guinan's like, you know what? I think, in so many words, she basically says, I think you're kind of being a bitch about this and you should actually try and solve the problem here instead of sitting on your ass and doing nothing.
Right.
Because there's up to a certain point where Crusher does everything she thinks she can do, and then she just decides to resign herself to whatever fate might come her way.
Mm-hmm.
And so she doesn't take the steps to try and figure out what's going on.
Right.
And the point at which she stops is kind of lame, because she can't do an autopsy on the Ferengi because of some Ferengi burial ritual that they invented, I'm sure, just for this one episode.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know, it's just kind of a...
Yeah, it sounds really boring, man.
Yeah, and...
Sorry, you have to do all the talking. <I'm sorry.
laughs> If this is what our Batman podcast is going to be, I think I'm going to pull the plug on that right now.
No. I mean, I'll be engaged, because I'll have seen the correct episode.
which reminds me, we're going to be doing a Batman podcast pretty soon, which will be nothing like this. So.
You're enjoying this.
Oh, he's never going to let us back on ever again.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, so it turns out that the technology was sabotaged by the guy flying the shuttlecraft, and he has his alien physiology allows him to make it look like he's dead.
Oh, man.
And so there's basically Crusher ends up going against everybody's orders, and she runs an autopsy on the Ferengi, which, first of all, I don't understand why this is a big deal, because in the 24th century, it looks like autopsies aren't very invasive.
No.
It looks like it's just sort of, you know, they stick them inside like a large format copier.
Yeah. You're right. And I was going to say that that's actually what that thing looked like.
Yeah. And so she does that, and she, the trail of breadcrumbs leads her into thinking, like, she's convinced that, they think it's some sort of beam was fired from the Enterprise, which then disrupt the machinery inside the shuttlecraft.
Okay. Do you think Crusher learned anything this episode?
Not really.
So do you think her character has dramatically changed from the beginning to the end?
I don't know. It's, again, I don't think it's not her fault. It's very poorly written. Because after she does the autopsy, and she's very headstrong about thinking that this guy was murdered and that the technology does work, she jumps in the shuttlecraft and flies into the sun to prove that the technology works. When, as far as she knows, the person who sabotaged it the first time is still on the Enterprise.
Right.
And could just very well do it again and kill her while she's flying into the sun. But turns out he's not on the Enterprise. Are you following all this?
I don't care. Finish. I want to talk about stuff.
Well, I didn't know if there was anything for you to talk about because you didn't watch the damn episode.
No, I can't. What did you think of her haircut?
I think her hair looks really nice.
I didn't like her bangs. I think they were too short. All right, next question.
Hot take. Hot take from Sean Murphy on Suspicions.
And I like punk rock bangs, but I don't know on her. The makeup is just too much. But, you know, this episode, it sounds like the same one where she's... The one where she's shipping a bubble and the universe is getting slower around her and she needs to figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, Crusher on a Mystery Alone. I agree. It's the writer's problem first and foremost, but I don't know if she's helping either.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like she's at a bit of a disadvantage because the amount of character work they do with her over 6 seasons is pretty minimal.
Right.
And, you know, when they do focus on her, I like her. Like, I liked her in this episode.
Right.
But the stuff they give her to work with is just not great.
Right. Actually, I have a new idea. I have something we can talk about.
Okay.
Instead of this episode. Why don't we talk about what we're hoping that the new series does better than all these episodes does.
Okay, well, let's wrap up this episode.
Let's go give it your two or one. I'll give it my one.
All right, at this point, I guess I'll play a clip of something. I'll probably play an Elvis song or something. It doesn't matter because Sean didn't watch it. He won't know the difference.
Suspicion torments my heart. Suspicion keeps us apart. Suspicion, why torture me?
Okay, so, Sean, you want to give your opinion of the episode? Give it a rating?
Oh, man, I was riveted by your description of it. I didn't like how you jumped the shark in the ending. I'd give you 1 out of 5. Honestly, this sounds terrible. There's a reason why I haven't seen this one for a long, long time. It just sticks. How about you?
I would tend to agree with you. Not on my own performance, but on the performance of the episode itself. It's the mechanics are silly, the solution is lazy, I don't really care about anything that's happening, and it's like, even, you know, the idea that someone is dead on the Enterprise of mysterious circumstances.
Oh, yeah, that whole thing.
And nobody cares except for Crusher is really strange to me.
And racist.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is, kind of, because she goes to Picard, and it's actually kind of a little sexist, too, because she goes to Picard, and Picard's like, yeah, well, there's nothing you can do, just back off. And she's like, well, I think he was murdered. And he's like, well, I don't know, too bad. And then after she talks with Guinan, and she decides to
make a play for it.
Yeah, she decides to keep going forward.
Right.
She gets pulled aside by Riker, who gives her this like really condescending speech where he's like, you really shouldn't be doing this. If you know what's good for you, and I'm talking to you as a friend, just back off. You know,
well, is it sexist then, or is it just because?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on how you want to read it, because on the one hand, you could read it as him just being overly right. cautious of her career. Right. But on the other hand, it's, I don't know, you could read it as him right. being, you know, you could read it as being right. a little bit condescending towards her, because oh, yeah. she's a woman, I think.
Well, that one line where he said, if you were a man, you would have figured it out by now. I thought that was kind of over the top. And then I think he slapped her.
Yeah. I might have dozed off for that part, but I can only assume that that's, man, thank God. Tana knew what she was doing by backing out of this at the last minute.
Oh, no, you think I'd be making these jokes if Tana was here?
No, I think she just could tell that it was going to be a shit show from beginning yeah, to end.
Probably. Well, no, see, I figured out my technology thing, but I know you have more to deal with, so,
you know. You figured out your technology thing, you just didn't watch the episode.
Well, I watched the one that you, I think, whatever.
No, everyone, hang 10, because when we get to the next episode, it's going to be so cool, because Sean watched it really closely. So anyway, yeah, I would give this one probably a 2 out of 5. Okay. And at this point, I'll play, Wes did have some thoughts on it, so I'll play his clip right now.
Boo.
Hey, everybody. I'd made it like 100-some-odd episodes in, so I figured that I can't go this entire series and not have at least my opinion on every single one of these episodes. So even though I'm a little bit indisposed to record at this point, I want to thank Clay for stepping up and taking the helm of the podcast for a couple weeks while I'm gone. I'm sure he did a great job, and whoever came on the show with him, I'm sure did a great job discussing Suspicion. So I just wanted to say thank you to Clay. Thanks very much. I appreciate it. And I'm just going to give my quick thoughts about Suspicions really in like a 2-minute span here. Basically, I don't think this episode is very good. I don't know what those other guys thought about it. I don't know where they thought it fit. I find it to be sort of a problem of the season 6 is trying to do different things with the show, and it's kind of obvious at this point. I don't feel that this episode is really a very good take on it, even though what they're trying to do is basically a film noir detective story. And I love that style of story. I love that narrative. I don't think it really works in the TNG universe. Everything, the relationships between the characters seems a little bit off. Like, The best one is maybe Riker sort of grabbing Beverly and telling her that, you know, you can't go down this path anymore. That fits both the noir and the character of Riker. But I felt like every single Picard Crusher interaction in the story felt weird. It felt a little bit off. It felt like Picard wasn't involved enough into it. And that's really because it's all about the noir thing of Crusher is the lone detective who's going up against the world, basically, where she has to prove, you know, that this is something's going on nefarious, even though no one else tends to believe her. And it's a weird tone for the show to take. I appreciate the fact that they're doing it, but I don't think it really works in terms of this. Outside of that, I was a little bored watching this one. It feels to me like it's almost too much science and not enough interesting stuff going on. Like, the murder is kind of interesting, but the science behind the metaphasic shielding is not all that interesting. And, you know, and the different races, it feels similar to The Chase in that they bring in a bunch of different races and they're all scientists. And one of them has the weird line about he can't believe that the Klingon scientist is a killer. And it's like, really? She's a Klingon. It seems like they could be killers at this point, but outside of that, it felt very flat and boring to me, and it felt like they were trying to go for this style aspect, and the episode feels pure style that I don't think they even really do a great job of, but it's also at the expense of any kind of substance and any kind of good TNG episode. So I'm not really excited with it. It is unique that it's, you know, the last appearance of Guinan. If those guys didn't mention that, I hope they did. I mentioned it to Clay, but it's the last appearance of Guinan in the series as a regular episode, which is interesting and kind of sad. It ends with, this is like a quintessential Guinan episode, right? She sort of lies about having a problem. She tricks one of the main characters into believing her, and then through her action has revealed like a sort of truth to that character. And it's really her destroying Troy again. She does the Troy job a million times better than Troy does in this one. Troy has a line in this episode where she comes up and she's like, "Well, I couldn't talk to Beverly. She won't let me talk to her." Where the true psychiatrists of the show which is Guinan, managed to, you know, get Crusher to open up about how she's feeling. And in that sense, it's a really quintessential Guinan episode. I'm going to miss Guinan. She was one of my favorites. She doesn't make any appearances in season 7, and this is the last one in season 6. So it's sad to see her go. She was a really interesting character. I wonder if Clay and them are going to talk about it. But she was a really fascinating sort of reboot of the Troi character, who never really got in the way and only had a couple of bad episodes. Really, it's just Time's Arrow is the only one that I can think of where she was a huge focus of that episode and it didn't really work out. Outside of that, can't really think of anything, though. But back to Suspicions. Yeah, I'm not impressed with this one. I remembered this one being better than it is, and I don't know why. It was really not all that interesting to watch. I don't think I'd rewatch this one on a rewatch. So I'm going to give it a 2 out of 5. Suspicions for me is a 2 out of 5. It had potential that they didn't really do anything with, and it was a little bit boring. I don't feel that I could, you know, recommend this one to anybody. And hopefully the other guys, Clay and whoever did the show, would go a little bit deeper than I did. But that's it, guys. I just wanted to leave a little bit of a mark on this episode and probably the next one until I'm back in the swing of things. But guys, thank you very much for listening to the podcast. I appreciate it. Thank you for putting up with the shitty scheduling that I've put together over this month of August as I try to fix the house to make it livable. But anyway, outside of that, let's take it back to Clay and he can wrap up the episode. See ya.
Okay, so hot takes from your commander, Wes Teasdale. So this was a mess, but
yeah, I completely agreed with everything he said.
Made some really good points, and lays the groundwork for thinking about things for the rest of the season, really.
And the fact that he liked Riker's sexist line, I mean, that kind of threw me off a little bit, but whatever. You can answer on the forums.
We have forums now?
Sure.
Anyway, so what are your thoughts on the new Star Trek?
Oh, I was thinking about all the ways that they could really improve it, because we've learned a lot about how to make sci-fi since Next Generation, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think about, like, the things that bug me on a daily basis, or every episode it bugs me. Like, Worf doesn't really know how to fight. That actor does not know what he's doing. He should be a killing machine whenever he wants.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the technology stuff. I hope that they still make it fun and funny every now and then, too, and have those bottleneck episodes.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, I think if the stuff that they've said, the stuff that I've heard is actually the way it's going, like, I think Wes said something about the main character not being the captain of the ship.
Right.
That's pretty interesting to me. Like, it seems like they're taking a couple steps outside the box.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, I think that's for the best. And if I think that I did see it's going to be more serialized, which will be interesting because it's never really been that way before.
Right. Yeah. You think about all the stuff they learned from, like Battlestar, which I don't think you liked, Firefly, you know, how successful Deep Space Nine was, you know, the movies, also the new format of, like, Netflix and Hulu and sort of breaking things up into smaller chunks and letting people binge. There's a lot of new things happening
in the way they
consume TV, and I feel like people that are jumping on the show know this, and they're going to really stay with what worked, but really enhance it and bring it into, you know, make it more contemporary.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a really interesting to see how they do it, because I think the movies have done it to a certain extent, but they're a little bit hamstrung by their format, I think.
Right.
So you've got, I mean, if you really take a step back and look at the movies they've done so far,
right,
the bad guys or the antagonists in those movies are pretty much identical.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, for better or worse, they're more or less successful, but they've done, like, some interesting... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I agree. And the first one was good, despite a really lame bad guy.
Right.
And honestly, like, I don't know... I thought Khan was really a great bad guy, but I know you had a lot of other problems with that movie.
That's... Once again, that's because you haven't watched the original Wrath of Khan.
What, the guy from Whitesnake? Who was the bad guy? Okay.
Benedict Cumberbatch does not show his chest at all in that movie.
Well... Yeah, I have no response to that. one of the things I was thinking was, I think they better cast good actors.
Yeah.
I'm fucking tired. The casting people who are involved in Star Trek up until the new movies. I think the new movies had done a great job casting.
Yes,
but
definitely.
They just picked bad actors. I don't know what their fucking problem is. And I think that TNG, like, you grasp onto Data and Worf and Picard and Riker because they're, like, the only ones that actually can pull off acting, and you just have to, like, ignore all the awful, like, even, like, cameos and things like that. They just pick terrible, terrible people. And it brings down the entire show. So I would say my one thing is I hope they know how to cast this time.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so, too. I mean, I think they do a pretty good job with TNG, but, you know, at least for the main guys, anyway. I mean, I think Picard, obviously, is great, and Riker gets the job done, and they're pretty good. But I think there are so many really great actors out there right now mm-hmm. that I feel like it would be difficult for them to screw it up, hopefully,
right.
Anyway.
I feel like they, back in the era in the 90s, I think that they half-cast the show well. I think most of the extras or Monster of the Week actors were not good
for
TNG. And I feel like they didn't care because they thought, well, it's sci-fi. It doesn't matter how you act. People are more focused on the flying cars.
Right.
And that, I think, is complete bullshit. And that's a misallocation of resources and a giant missed opportunity to make the show a lot better.
Oh, definitely. Because, I mean, if you look at the best episodes of TNG, you know, the acting of whoever's under the paint or the makeup is...
Right.
It's 50% of the episode, you know? Like, if you look at... the hell, the one where Picard's being tortured by the Romulans.
Oh, that, yeah.
Yeah, if the guy he's going off of is a lesser actor than David Warner, who they get to play that part, then that whole episode falls apart, you know?
Oh, yeah. He's great. That villain was better than most of the villains in all of the new movies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, yeah, I agree.
Honestly, the guy, Sherlock Holmes, Moriarty, I love that actor.
Yeah,
I know
he's good.
Very little. He's a better villain than all of the new movies combined.
Yeah, yeah, no, I would agree. Yeah,
yeah.
Anyway.
So they did some stuff right.
Yeah. Well,
obviously
hopefully
they did a lot of it right.
Well, hopefully they'll continue to do right, and hopefully you'll come back for the next episode of this podcast, where we will hopefully have righted the ship and all have watched the episode, so we can talk about it in depth.
We're good. I'm good. Hi, Jazz. You ready to do it?
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's it for us this episode. We'll be back with next episode with Rightful Heir, with Sean, and Dan will be joining us as well. So, live long and prosper, guys. We'll see you later.
Wow.
Suspicion torments my heart. Suspicion keeps us apart. Suspicion, why torture me?